Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women that have experienced this intimately and want to support other women so they don't have to walk the path alone. We are not professionals, and the content of this show is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join a therapist-led support group to help your betrayal trauma, you may reach out to us at healingwithworth.org to join one of our online worth groups. Now, here are your hosts, Janine and Naomi. Welcome to a new season of Healing with Worth. We are your hosts, Janine and Naomi. And today we have a guest with us on the podcast. We have Deborah Cobb with us. And Deborah is a certified trauma-informed life coach and embodied processing practitioner. She has a bachelor's in education and currently works for Life Changing Services as the Worth Mentor-led group director and founder of Co-Creator Deb Life Coaching. She's been a member of Worth since 2019. She feels her purpose is to co-create with God in helping women reconnect with their body, see the truth of their identity, and feel empowered in their choices. She considers it a privilege to provide an empathetic space for women to safely process their emotions, gain insights, and move forward in their personal healing journey. Her personal experiences of betrayal and infant loss give her a unique understanding and compassion for women who are working through their own trauma. She lives in California and has been married for 25 years and has 10 children, ranging from age 24 to 4 years old. Welcome, Deborah. Tell our listeners a little bit, what brought you to Worth?
When my husband and I got married, I was not aware of his struggle with pornography. And I found that out about 7 months after we were married, and we decided to have kids right away. So I was about 7 months pregnant. That was my first discovery. And those discoveries continued to happen over the next 20 years. The last discovery, I finally told my husband, I'm done. I'm not your wife anymore. This is not okay. And I had finally had it. And he found the Minimum Runway program and he started that. And then he told me about Worth. And so that was in 2019. And so I've been participating in Worth and doing my own betrayal trauma recovery since then. My husband has been doing his own recovery through Minimum Runway. And so it's been, I guess, why they call it life-changing services, because the services were life-changing for us. And so that's why I love Worth and I love being involved in the programs and using my experience of betrayal and recovery from that betrayal to help other women in the same situation.
Well, we are so glad you're here with us. And we have a very unique topic that we're going to talk to Deborah about today, one that we've not tackled. And so I'm really excited about this. We're going to be talking about embodied processing. And this is something that I had actually never heard of. There are other modalities that I've heard of that help women work through their trauma, but this one was new to me. So I'm really excited to talk to you more about this. But let's start off by just sharing why you feel this is so important.
So embodied processing, what it is, it's more of a bottom-up approach. I think mostly in the Western world, we tend to focus a lot on the psychology, the cognitive part of things, you know, changing our thoughts, changing our beliefs. And a lot of times the body, it's ignored. And I'm sure that most of us can relate that when you're triggered, you can say all day long in your head, I'm safe, I'm safe, I'm safe. But your nervous system is screaming, no, I'm not. And so it's been important for me to learn about how we can address what's happening with the nervous system and learn how to regulate that in conjunction with changing those thought patterns and changing those beliefs that are not true.
Yeah. And I think that's why trauma work is so important, is because they are methods that help you learn how to regulate your nervous system and be in tune and in touch with your body.
And that can be really hard when you've been through trauma.
Yes. And you're raising children and you know, you've right. got a number of other things that are happening in your life. Very hard. Well, for sure. When betrayal happens, you're not only trying to regulate your emotions, but it's very difficult to discern what's going on in your body. So Deborah, why don't you share with us how knowing your enemy is helpful?
So before I go into explaining the violent embodied processing session looks like, I wanted to talk about three tactics that Satan uses to keep us from progressing and experiencing joy. So the first one is he wants us to be disconnected from our bodies. He doesn't have one, and he knows how powerful we are when we are connected to our bodies and we're aware of what's happening in the present, and we experience more joy there. And of course, he doesn't want that. So some of the things that he does to try and get us to disconnect from our bodies is, one, distractions. Right? How many times we're like, okay, I'm feeling sad, or I'm feeling anxious, or I'm feeling angry. I'm just going to go distract myself with whatever I got on my phone, social media, or I'm going to just stay busy, 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 or, you know, binge watching Netflix. TV shows or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And so anything that's going to keep us from being present and experiencing our five senses, your body's present, but your mind is somewhere else. So another thing he uses is he encourages us in using addictions or other unhealthy artificial sources of temporary happiness. We're wanting to escape from what's happening in our body, these uncomfortable emotions that we're having. So he encourages us to go use things that, look, if you just do this, you'll feel better. And maybe temporarily you do, but then you just feel worse. And you just continually start to feel more uncomfortable being just present with your body. So another thing he does is he wants us to either ruminate in the past or worry about the future. So if you're ruminating the past, you're just going over and over and over and over about something that happened or something that was said, and your body is present, but your mind is in the past. Or if you're worrying about the future, all the what ifs, unknowns, the fear, again, your body's in the present, but your mind is somewhere else. So you don't have that connection. There's a scripture in the Doctrine and Covenants. It's 93:33-34. It says, for man is spirit, elements, which is our body, are eternal, and spirit and element, inseparably connected, receive a fullness of joy. And when separated, man cannot receive a fullness of joy. So Satan knows that whatever he can do to kind of get us to separate from our bodies, he knows we can't have a fullness of joy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Any questions about that? Can you relate to any of those?
Oh, so much. In fact, when I was headed to finish up a project of mine that I was working on, I noticed a poster and it said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That is why it is called the present.
Yeah.
So I feel like that really fits in. These activities that help us to stay in the present moment are so important. They do keep us connected to our bodies. So did you find that in certain times of recovery, this was easier to do than others?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think during that first 20 years of my marriage, I didn't know what to do with all these emotions. And so I had a bunch of kids and I just stayed busy. Just one thing after the next. It's really a survival, right? You're trying to survive because you don't know what to do with all of these big, overwhelming emotions.
Yeah.
And so you just try to get away from it. And it makes complete sense for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
That's where I live. Oh, yeah. That's where I live. Yeah. Survival mode.
Yeah.
Trying to get through all the stuff and take care of all the things. Yeah. And there are a lot of distractions, productive distractions, but, you know, busy things that keep me just moving forward. Because I can't really spend time in the past because I have so much going on in the present, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, it makes perfect sense. I think we all find ourselves using those ways of coping. And so if you notice that all of those things that we do takes us away from being in the present. And the reason why having that connection with your body and being in the present is God is omnipresent. So that's where we find him. We find God in the present. And when we are present and we are connected and aware of what's happening in our body, then that's we're in a place where we can hear God, we can feel him, and we can receive truth. There's actually a quote. This is Megan Allen Ministries. She says, "In his presence, God, we discover a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that fills us with joy and contentment." So again, it makes sense why Satan wants us to have this disconnection. He doesn't want us to be in the presence of God. He doesn't want us to have truth. He doesn't want us to have joy. So something else that Satan does is he attacks our identity. And I'm sure this isn't new for anybody, but he's always ready to give us an interpretation of any situation. And it always includes lies about our identity. So he doesn't want us to remember who we really are, right? He could put thoughts into our heads like, "I'm not enough physically to be wanted by my husband. My love isn't enough for him to change. God abandoned me. He doesn't care about me." There's a whole bunch of thoughts that he can put into our heads that include lies about our identity. Because he knows that if we know the truth about who we are, the truth about our potential and our worth, and how loved and valued we really are, then we're going to be a force for good. And he doesn't want that. So can you relate to those attacks on your identity?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, and I think that comes with betrayal trauma. Because we're caught up in wanting to help. And when we can't fix the problem or if we can't make it go away, that's when we start to have those thoughts about not being good enough, not being enough, and our worth suffers, which is why I love worth, because worth helps to build that back up.
Yeah, absolutely. And the third tactic that he uses is he attacks our agency, our ability to choose. And this is something he's been trying to take from us from the beginning. So he wants us to feel like, "I don't have a choice. I'm stuck. There's nothing I can do. Nothing I do matters. Why do I even want to keep trying?" So he doesn't need to convince us necessarily to do anything bad. If we just do nothing, then we become women who are being acted upon instead of using our agency to make empowered choices. So when we feel like we have choices, we can see what choices we have. We feel the power of that and we regain hope.
Oh, yeah. I lived in that place before, giving up and living a life of being acted upon until I stopped. And did something different, which was great for me, not so great for my spouse.
So I wanted to just go over those three things that Satan attacks, because that is the purpose of my work, to help women connect to their bodies, help them to see the truth of their identity, and to help them use their agency and feel empowered in the choices that they make.
Yeah. So what does this have to do with the body?
So that's a great question. So in a body processing session, the first thing that I do is I just ask, what's a situation that you've recently been emotionally triggered from, or is something causing you distress, or you're having a hard time, or whatever it may be, whatever it is that's causing you stress or your nervous system to be dysregulated. So then we kind of talk about that a little bit, what it is, what situation they want to focus on. And then the second is building a resource. Focus on what's happening in our bodies, the sadness, the anger, the hurt, the fear that all starts coming up and that doesn't feel safe and calm and peaceful. So building a resource is about creating inside of yourself a feeling of peace and calm and safety. It's basically a way to put your nervous system into that parasympathetic state, like that rest.
But what would that look like?
Okay. Yeah, there's several different things that you can do to create this resource. So I like to do like a body scan, and you just kind of think about kind of what's happening in your body. And then I might ask, is there a place in your body that feels safe? Some people might say my legs or my back or, you know, my feet. My feet feel like there's peace there, you know, and so you just focus on that part of the body and describe how that feels and kind of explore that. And if that's not something that works for you, if there's a memory or an imaginary place that you associate with safety, calm, feeling secure, protected, right? Any of those words that you associate with safety, we're looking for a memory or an imaginary place. And as we go to those, I'm asking you to describe it. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel? Is the sun on your face? Can you feel a breeze? Or are there smells? And so are you really imagining or bringing up this memory and the feelings that go with that? Another thing that I like to do is ask people if there's like a spiritual or a loving figure that they want to bring in to be with them. That could be Jesus Christ. It could be an animal, maybe a pet, or anything that you associate with, or anyone that you associate with a sense of safety and calm. Any questions about that part?
It sounds very much like a meditative type practice, or like it almost reminds me of things I would hear in my yoga practice from the instructor. So all these things help us to focus on our senses, which then in turn focuses inward on our body. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. It's important to start with your nervous system in this calm state, because once it's in a calm state, then what we do is we invite in the situation that you talked about in the beginning that was causing distress, whatever that trigger was. So then we bring that in and we start describing that. And I'll ask questions, you know, okay, now that we've invited that in and we're thinking about that, how does that feel in your body? And we explore. But instead of trying to push away those feelings, we allow that to come and be present in our bodies, give it space to just be seen. And then we explore it. Like, if it had a voice, what would it say? Is it trying to protect you? When was the first time in your life that you remember feeling like this? Is there an image that comes up when you focus on this feeling? Is there a color or a shape or a texture that comes up as you focus on this? So we're really just exploring this emotion that's present in your body and learning from it. And it's really amazing when I do these sessions with people, the things that will come up. For me, when I was having one done for me, it was like, I'm seeing the color brown and I feel like I can't move my arms and my legs. Like it just, they feel stuck. And I was like, you know, brown, that kind of makes me think of mud, like when I would do mud pies when I was a kid. And it kind of evolved to the, oh my gosh, I feel stuck. Like I'm stuck in the mud. That makes sense. Why my arms, my legs don't feel like they want to move. So it's really interesting what comes out. Any questions about that so far?
When you're dealing with clients who've experienced betrayal, how long do you find that they take to move into this calm state?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question.
I can see at different stages of my own life that I probably wouldn't even be in tune with what's going on in my body because there's so much going on that I wouldn't be able to relax. I mean, now I understand the process. I know what to do, but I'm thinking in the early stages of my recovery, like, what does that even look like to even feel certain parts of my body? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So if they are unfamiliar with this process, how would you teach somebody to do this? For me, it definitely took some time.
Right. Is there like prior work that maybe needs to be done before they can get into this?
So if you have somebody that is struggling to just to tune in to what's going on in their body, you can spend a lot of time doing the resourcing and just practicing. Some people, like when I say, oh, what feels safe in your body? They're just like nothing. Okay, well, then that's not a good resource. But sometimes they can't think of an imaginary place. And there may be elements of that imaginary place that bring peace to them. And as they do that time after time, they start noticing, oh, you know what? I can't feel something in my chest. It's like, you know, it feels like I can breathe. Right. And maybe that's all they give. And that's a start. And so you just focus on that. And I encourage people when we build a resource for them to practice going into this resource just for 5 or 10 minutes a day. Because the more you go to that resource, the more you're going to be familiar with that sense of safety in your body. And the more safe you feel in your body, that increases your capacity to hold uncomfortable emotions that come around. Does that make sense? And as far as the time frame, I think it just depends. I mean, we're all different. Our situations are different. Our bodies are different.
I do think that that's a good idea to just practice this. Take some time each day to scan your body, to start practicing this. And the more you practice, the more familiar you'll become with your own body.
Right. And so that's one of an advantage to embodied processing is it's helping you to safely tune into your body, finding safety there. And then over time, bringing in just a little bit of disturbance and exploring that. And learning, aware of what's happening in your body, then you're present. And that's going to open you up to truth about you, because God can be there in that present to give you that revelation and help you to see the truth of your identity. And so I love to see that too. When I'm in a session with someone, they start to see that, oh, you know what? This fear that I'm feeling, it's a good thing. Like, this is something to be appreciated, not something that makes me bad or broken that I need to try and get rid of. You develop this appreciation of these parts of your body that are uncomfortable, but they are trying to tell you something important. They're trying to help you see what you need. So after you're in the present, you're connecting with your body a little more, you're getting some truth about your identity and what's happening in your body. All throughout, I'm asking, okay, has anything changed? And a lot of times the sensations that they're feeling in their bodies, maybe it starts in their chest and they go, Oh, yeah, actually, now it's moved into my arms. Or, you know, it's kind of fading. Now I'm feeling it here and it feels different, right? So it changes. The more we explore it, it continues to change. And so at the end, I asked them, okay, so what was your takeaway from this session? And how do you want to act on this moving forward? So you can see in a body processing session, it's a way to connect with your body. It's a way to get truth from God about your identity and gives you an opportunity to choose, how do I want to use this in my life moving forward?
So I was able to sit down with Deborah and do a embodied processing session. And it reminded me a lot of guided meditation. I do a lot of guided meditations when I am struggling to go to sleep or go back to sleep. And it reminded me of that because oftentimes those guided meditations will take my mind on a different journey than where it's at. You know, like I'll be worrying about something and it will kind of lead me to a calmer place. And do body scans, you know, as well. So my question is, what do you find is different between, say, a guided meditation and embodied processing?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think when you're doing a lot of the resourcing at the beginning, it is kind of like a guided meditation because the point is to bring your nervous system into that parasympathetic state where you're calm and you feel safe. Mm-hmm. And the reason why that's important is because, and I think this is what's different than a guided meditation, is because then we're setting you up to bring in that disturbance. You're bringing that in and you're allowing it to be there. And you're allowing it to be there even if you want to try to expand that. What happens when it gets bigger or heavier? Right? Mm-hmm. We're just giving it as much space as you can. And we don't want you to get to a place where you are overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So I will periodically check in with you and say, are you able to tolerate what you're feeling in your body right now? And some people say, yeah, that's okay. And how do you know you can tolerate this? And they say, oh, you know, I can still breathe. And so they'll tell me what's happening in their body that helps them know I can tolerate this. But some people will say, I think I need a break. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then we go back to the resource. We go back to that parasympathetic nervous system state so we can get back calm and that peace. And then when they're ready, then we can go back to that disturbance. So it's a safe way to bring these uncomfortable emotions in, because you don't have to be afraid of it getting so out of control, you know, going to panic or, you know, rage. Sure. Sometimes if it gets out of control and it gets so overwhelming, you can be re-traumatized.
Right.
And we don't want that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a safe way of processing these uncomfortable emotions that need to be seen and heard and learned. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's the difference.
Okay. That makes sense. Because yeah, those guided meditations just take you on a journey away from away from those stresses, which for me at night is a good thing because I don't want to sit there and think about it at night. But it's probably because I have a lot of distraction through the day. And then I sit down and go to sleep and then wake up and like, hello, there it is.
Yeah. And that's the thing, those uncomfortable emotions, they get stuck there unless we bring them in and process them.
So give us an example of what it might look like for a client to act on something.
Okay. So for my particular, the session that I did last time, someone did for me, and I talked about how I felt like I'm stuck. And I was feeling powerless. I was talking about like my business and what I have to offer. And I felt stuck. I felt like I want to help people, but I can't. And I just felt powerless. And as I explored that more, I realized, oh, girl, that is exactly how I felt in my marriage all of that time. I had this desire to help my husband, but I felt powerless to do so. And so that was really interesting to make that connection and then explore more about the truth, you know, that what I have to offer is enough. And then I'm not alone in like the desire of my heart to help people. That's good. Right. And so I think for me, it was just like, okay, I need to remember that God is in this story. Like God is in this desire of mine to help people. He's in that desire. He was in that desire to help my husband all that time. Like I wasn't alone in that. And so for me, it was like, I need to remember and trust that God is in this with me. And I'm going to give what I have and I'm going to allow him to make of it what he will. And that's all the responsibility that I have. So it helps me to feel like, hey, actually, I'm not stuck. Like I have God's help and I can move forward in the best way I know how. So I don't know if that answered the question. That was just kind of my personal.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that. That helps me. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners about embodied processing? These sessions usually last about 50 minutes or 45.
Yeah, but they're usually about an hour. Yeah.
Okay.
45 minutes to an hour. And I do offer a free session for anybody that wants to try it out. So I can put a link to my calendar in the show notes. And if you want to hop on my calendar and give it a try and see if it's something that would benefit you right now where you're at in your healing journey.
Well, really quick, for people who are interested in trying it out, is there anything that you would have them do to kind of prepare for a session? Like any tips so that they can kind of be ready to dive in or do the session?
So I would say that it's ideal if they plan to be in a space that's not going to be interrupted. A place that's quiet, that, you know, kids aren't coming in and out or whatever. So just plan to have a place where you can have some privacy. And then just think about what it is that you want to explore. If there's a situation that's disturbing or whatever it is that's coming up for you recently, and just come with that. But that's about it.
So be in a place that is quiet, free from distraction and interruption, so that you can take the time to focus in on your body and your feelings, maybe a comfortable space for you.
Mm-hmm. I have certain days and times blocked out on my calendar for booking in a body processing session. But if you go on there and there's nothing that works for you, then you can email me and I can work with you and figure out a time. Okay. That will work for you. Yeah.
Okay. I know you said the first session is free. What is the cost after that for people wanting to continue?
So for right now, a life coaching session or an embodied processing session, I'm making it the same. It's like $75 an hour. If you book two of them in a month, it's discounted. Or if you book four of them in a month, then it's discounted even more. And
okay.
That's all done on my calendar.
That's really a great deal. Yeah.
Very reasonable.
Yeah, for sure.
Deborah, for those listeners who'd like to get a hold of you and book a free session, try it out, what would be the best way to get a hold of you?
My email address is cocreatordeb@gmail.com. I also have a website, cocreatordeb.org, and there's a contact page on there. Also, I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I will put the link to my calendar below there. And pretty soon, I'm going to be starting a podcast called Finding Miracles. And starting on May 1st, I'm going to be doing a live Facebook event to kick off a 30-day Finding Miracles challenge. And it's giving people an opportunity to look for the miracles in their life every day for 30 days. So
that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you, Deborah, for coming on and talking to us about embodied processing and sharing your journey with our listeners. We really appreciate it. Those of you who are listening, if you are interested in signing up, I encourage you to go to the show notes or go to her website, contact her, get signed up, and check this out. It may be one of those things, and it's very reasonably priced, but it may be one of those things that is a tool that can help you to ground yourself in times of trauma and discord in your life. So thank you again, Deborah, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure you visit our website, healingwithworth.org, to enroll in a therapist-led support group or to check out our blog. If you found value in the show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you may listen, or simply tell a friend about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode, because you are worth it.